Dr. Anderson, thank you very, very much, and Dr. Bethel for this great privilege to be on campus. I am deeply touched by this privilege and honored with the occasion. There is so much good that God has accomplished through this school through the years. I praise the Lord for its stand, its focus of ministry, its commitment to remaining a Bible college today and turn out men and women for ministry. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful privilege today. It's an honor for Daria and to me to be on campus. I want to turn your attention to the Word of God today, and if you would, please take your Bibles in hand and open them to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to begin in verse 11. Now, just so I can understand who is here this morning, let me ask this question, because I know graduation is just around the corner. How many of you are very soon to be graduates? You are seniors right now. Okay, I want to make eye contact with all of you. Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. How many are here this morning who one day, Lord willing, will be seniors? Okay, well, good. Thank you, Lord. How many of you are here who at some time in the past, maybe many years ago, were seniors in school? All right. I think we have covered just about everyone. This message today is for seniors in whatever category you find yourself. I want you to imagine this scenario for a moment. You've been through your educational program at Appalachian Bible College. Graduation is just around the corner. It's your plan to serve in a career ministry role. That's what your schooling during these years has been all about. At the conclusion to your years in school, your favorite prof sends you an invitation to come to a dinner that he is preparing for you. And at that dinner, he wants to share with you some final concluding thoughts to your educational experience as you leave this institution and head out into ministry. Well, you excitedly anticipate the date of that meeting, and your friends and you gather with your prof around that table. Your host greets you seated at the end of the table and makes eye contact with each of you directly, looks in your eye, and with compassion in his voice, tells you how very much he has loved the privilege of being a part of your life and ministry development, how much you have meant to him, and he is committed to you as you head into ministry. He says this to you, I want to share some things with you at the conclusion of your educational experience. He says, I have found joy in ministry, and I want to tell you how you might also find joy in the service of the Lord. Would you be all ears at that point? I think you probably would. Well, I want to draw your attention to John chapter 15 and verse 11. The scenario that I've described for you in a contemporary or current setting is virtually The exact scenario we find in this larger portion of Scripture in the Gospel of John. Jesus has called his students together for a final meal with them. They are at the end of 3 years of biblical instruction and ministry training. He, as their prof, has been preparing them for career ministry, and they are soon to march through graduation and out the doors into lifetimes of service for him. He's called these students together in this final meal and wants to share with them his heart about ministry. And I read our text this morning, John chapter 15 and verse 11. "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." This is Jesus talking about this. I want you, as you enter ministry, to find delight in what you are going to do, to the place where it fills you up to the point of overflowing. Now, you'll notice at verse 11, there are two very important words that in the larger context of the upper room discourse, which begins in John chapter 13 and extends at least through John chapter 16 and may spill over into John chapter 17 and the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Those two words at the beginning of John 15, verse 11, are these things. Now, that phrase repeats itself, if you read through the upper room discourse, no less than 10 times. And it's one of those literary expressions that God places there by divine design to help us connect the dots and say this all is part of a flow of ideas meant to be linked together. Now, we're using this as a central text to guide our thinking this morning. Jesus says with you, if I can extract from the text today in just an overview, I want to give to you six practices which, if you will make habits in your life and ministry, will keep your experience through an entire lifetime of service for the Lord of ever, ever becoming drudgery. Practice number one. Now, that takes us back to the beginning of the upper room discourse in John chapter 13. And it's this: to willingly stoop to serve others. Willingly stoop to serve others. Now, there's a sense in which this is so simple and practical. This is not rocket science. Let me read for you a couple of these verses of Scripture in John 13, verse 4 and 5, just to refresh your memory. "He," Jesus, "rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Here they are seated at the table. The buzz is going on. They're talking back and forth with each other. They're preoccupied. And Jesus quietly gets up, not drawing attention to himself, rolls up his sleeves, takes a bowl of water and a towel, and stoops down under the table and begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, we look over a little bit farther in this passage to verse 13. And Jesus says this: "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of others. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then these words, verse 17. And if you do these things, happy are you. Happy are ye if you do them. See, Jesus wants to make an impression on these men that will guide them. Out of all of the theology, all the challenging issues that they have grappled with in their school experience, it comes down to this. I want you to be willing to stoop to serve other people. I want you to jump in and help. To be able to look around and see things that need to be done. You see, here were men who were still sitting at the table, preoccupied with their own conversations, caught up in their own interests and issues, and not noticing what needed to be done around them. In the simplest of tasks. And then Jesus, the quintessential servant, who is the master and Lord of all, rolls up his sleeves, gets down, and does the job. What needs to be done? Yesterday, I was at Mount Tabor Baptist Church speaking there and fellowshipping and worshiping with the believers, and I noticed some things. I saw two students from the school here, Caleb and Ryan, seniors, ready to go out into a lifetime of service, who got up out of their seats and walked toward the instruments and served the Lord with the talents that they had been given. I saw Mr. Ed Chesley and his wife Donna, who have served at the school here for some 40, probably, years, committed to the students in the development of this institution. I saw Ed walk into the junior high and high school Sunday school class and there to open the Word of God to teach students. I saw him up leading worship. I had dinner with him. I found out he's a deacon in the church. There's work that needs to be done. You look around and you say, who's going to do it? Me. I'm the one. I'll get involved. I sat at lunch with Miriam King, the pastor's wife, who labored over the stove and in hospitality shared a meal with us that afternoon. I was with Pastor Mike King, who immediately after the service in the morning jumped in his car and took off up to the Charleston area to do a funeral service and then to go out to the graveside to conduct that service. And then, to squeeze a little bit more in as a pastor, went to the hospital to visit one of the two miners that remained alive from this recent tragedy because there was a family connection through the church. And then drove back just in time for the evening service. See, students, I want to tell you this. Ministry will become drudgery to you. Either you'll be twiddling your thumbs not knowing what to do if you're just not noticing things around that need to be done. Or if you think you're too important to do them, it's going to become drudgery for you. But if you'll just get up and do them, Jesus says you will be happy. And I encourage you to do it. You see something that needs to be done on campus or in the dorm, don't just assume somebody else will take care of it. You do it. A window needs to be cleaned. A garbage can needs to be emptied. When you go out into service, just have that mindset. Practice number two, remain loyal to the master. See this, we're going to go into a very sad next event in this unfolding dinner. It really is a tragedy. Verse 21 of chapter 13, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Well, the disciples wonder who it is. They're just not sure. And then we read in verses 26 and 27, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, go quickly." Just go on out, Judas, and do it. Now, let me just make this basic point. Judas, somehow got this idea, and we're told this commentary that Satan placed this thought in his mind. Satan has a track record of doing this. That when it comes to serving the Lord and following Jesus, you'll never find happiness and joy in it. That what Satan offers you is far better. What in the world was Judas thinking he would gain at this point? Oh, maybe somehow he thought he was missing out on a circle of friends. And if he just went and attached himself to these people over there, they would like him. Maybe he was seeking some kind of recognition. And so he'd go over here. Maybe it had something to do with the 30 pieces of silver, and he thought, well, you know, I'm not going to make much money in the ministry, and so I know what I'll do. I'll go after the big bucks over here. So off he goes, and Jesus says, what you're going to do now, because Satan had placed it in his heart, you go do it, and now Judas goes. Now, you know the rest of the story. Did he find contentment and happiness? He did not. Life became bitter for him in the next few hours, so much so that he took those 30 pieces of silver and he threw them down. It's, man, what have I done with my life? And as tragic as it is, he went out and committed suicide. Worst case scenario, absolutely. It's a terrible situation. Can I say to you, students, don't let Satan ever come along and convince you that there is something you're missing out on that is better than serving the Lord and following him in obedience to his instruction. You do what the Lord has called you to do. You be a follower of him. Don't be duped into thinking there is something more fun somewhere else. This is what will bring you happiness. Following the Lord and serving him. Practice number 3. See yourself through the eyes of humility. Chapter 13 and verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Here's Peter, man, I'm graduating. I've been in school here for 3 years with Jesus. Best student on campus. You can count on me, Lord. And within the next few hours, he denies the Lord not once, denies the Lord not twice, denies the Lord 3 times, and then hears that crow from the rooster. Sometimes we get filled with ourselves. We have this, look at me, look at me, look at me syndrome. And we want everybody to kind of be enraptured with us. We want the whole world to kind of revolve around us. Jesus says, no, Don't be that way. Don't brag about yourself. He has called us to a life of humble service. This is Jesus, who left the splendor of heaven and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the robes of a servant and became humble, condescending, even to the point of death. Whereas Judas turned his back on Jesus, Peter, who denied the Lord, repented and said, "Oh, how foolish I was." And then writes later in his own epistle that has his name on it, "Hey, clothe yourself in the robes of humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself in the sight of God, for in due time God will, if it is his choice, exalt you." You let God do the promoting. You see, sometimes you just get this, look at me, and I think if everybody's looking at me, I'll be happy. No, you just be a humble servant, and you let God take care of the rest. Very quickly, practice number 4. This is so very important, to tap God's resources. Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Down just a little farther, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And then over in chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." See, this is like a miner hitting the mother lode of God's grace, as Jesus describes things here. We're going to go out into ministry, and there is so much work to do. There is more work than any of us could ever hope to get done. It is a challenging task. We could exhaust ourselves in it. If we were on our own, we could not accomplish it. But there is one who goes beside us. His name is Jesus. There is a Father who is over us. There is one who is in us, the Holy Spirit. We are not like orphans. We can ask what we need to help us get the ministry done. And when we rest and abide in Jesus Christ and tap into that relationship as a branch to the vine, fruit begins to be produced in us. It is God's greatest delight to bring glory to himself through us. What joy there is in the service of the Lord. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a sense of toil in it, but it is never drudgery. It is a delight enabled by the empowerment of the three persons of the Godhead themselves. Our time is gone. May your hearts be filled with joy to overflowing as you launch out into the service of the Lord.
I think we need the last 2 points, don't you think? Yeah, could you at least tell us what the last two are? We would love to have it. I feel like I've sort of, you know, it's like getting a meal without dessert, and dessert's the most important part of the meal. So I'd like to have you just get, he was consciously abiding by the guidelines I gave him to conclude, but I'd like the last 2 points.
Just point number 5 is this: to cultivate friendships with the brotherhood of believers and to recognize the friendship that comes from Jesus Christ himself. He calls us his friends because the world is going to resist us. they're not going to be happy campers when we come to them. And if we're expecting them to just embrace us in the message we bring, we're going to be disappointed. But if we begin to support each other and cultivate friendships and love people and recognize that Jesus calls us his friends, we'll be able to continue on. And then practice number six is to finish your assignment. Jesus said, you know, you're going to weep for a time, but joy comes, and it comes in the morning, and it's like a woman who is in labor and travail, but then comes the birth, and the baby's there, and all of the tough times are forgotten. And that's what it is in the service of the Lord. John chapter 17, Jesus, at the outset of his high priestly prayer, just talking to the Father, said, I finished the work you gave me to do. Whatever it is that God's given you to do, just do it all the way to the end. There's no greater joy in that.